If you are born from above, you are completely, eternally, totally separated to God, and no one can sever that. No one can take it away. All that come to me, Jesus said, no one can snatch you out of my hands. Amen.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day and welcome. On Love Never Fails last time, Pastor Bill began a study of Hebrews chapter 10, and we learned that animal sacrifice was insufficient to take away sins, and a better sacrifice was desperately needed. Let's join Pastor as he completes the message, A Better Sacrifice.
1 Corinthians 15:24, after the second coming, it says, then comes the end when he, meaning Jesus, delivers the kingdom to God the Father. Isn't it amazing? The thousand-year reign, when we return with the Lord at the second coming, the millennial reign, the thousand years starts, he rules and reigns in righteousness and so forth with a rod of iron. Isn't it amazing? It's going to take 1,000 years to get everything straightened up before he can even present it to God the Father. 1,000 years. And he says, but when he puts an end to all rule, when he puts an end to all authority and power, meaning visible or invisible, for he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed, and God calls death an enemy, okay, is death. Every enemy of God in the millennial reign of Christ, listen, they're all going to be abolished. It's all going to be over. Nobody's going to do any of that junk anymore. Now listen, right now, Jesus is sitting, but he's waiting. And like I tell people, he's waiting, but I don't know how long, much longer he's going to wait. You better come to Christ now, because one day that waiting is going to be over and it's going to be too late for you. Amen? Amen. Boy, that's important. One day every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everything in heaven, everything on earth, everything under the earth, that includes everything. Amen? Now, look at verse 14. Here comes again. This is one. Every distraction should leave your heart and mind, and you've got to get verse 14 into your heart. Now watch this. Let me stop right there. Loved one, listen to me. From 7:1, chapter 7:1 to verse 18 of chapter 10, what we're finding here is really deeper than anything in the rest of the New Testament. We're understanding, if we didn't have Hebrews, we'd be missing so much. So look at this incredible verse. It says, for how many offerings? One. For one offering contrasted with all the other Levitical offerings. For by one offering, he, Jesus, look what he's done. He has, that's past tense, he has perfected for how long? Well, how long is forever? Well, hello. Perfected forever, who? Well, those, every true believer, okay, those who are being, present tense, being sanctified. Now listen to me. You, the moment you came to Jesus, you stood perfected forever in his sight. You, right now, the moment you asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord, you were eternally perfected. Can you buy that? Can you believe that? What does perfection mean? It means to be brought to a complete state of completion. And here, yes, it is speaking about our salvation. Are you really complete? Are you really complete? Ask yourself that. Well, I don't feel complete, and sometimes I act like I'm incomplete, and I don't even know who I am half the time, da, da, da. But the Bible says you are completely complete. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. He who is the head of all principality and power, you are what? Complete in him. You're complete. That word is pleru in the Greek. It means this. If I had a water glass, and if I poured that to the top where it was overflowing. That's what it means. You are completely full. Do you understand? You are completely full. All the fullness of God is in you, as it was in Christ. You are complete in Him, loved one. And yes, it's speaking of our justification, but the moment a person comes to Christ Jesus, you know, listen, the moment I got saved on that beach in Florida, I've told you a million times, you know, I didn't realize when I prayed that prayer and I was born again, if somebody had walked up to me and say, how's it feel to be justified? And I went, what? I mean, I still had Marlboros and a Falstaff in my car, man. I'll go over here. Do you understand? I didn't know what justification was. But immediately, remember what justification is? Justification is a fact. It's something that happens not in you. It's something that happens to you by God. In other words, God says, oh, Jesus Christ, Jesus died for him. My son paid the penalty. And so justification is a great doctrine of imputation to where God takes the spotless, sinless, perfect record of Jesus Christ. He transfers it over into your account. It's not your righteousness, it's Jesus' righteousness. And when God looks at you now, the word justification, let's narrow it down, just as if you have never sinned. Do you understand that? In other words, why? Well, you have imputation. Do you see it? Sin is gone. The great exchange. Our sin's been removed, and we receive into our account the perfect, spotless, sinless record of Jesus, the one who pleased God in everything that he did. It belongs to you now. And when God sees you, he sees you as perfect as his son, as if you had never sinned. Do you understand how powerful that is? But I didn't know that the moment I was born again. I want you to know it now because that's what this is speaking of right now. Listen to me now. You live right now, no matter what's happening in your life. If you're a born-again believer, it is a permanent state of completeness. Bill, how do you know that? It says forever. It says forever, my Lord. What does that mean? It means our position in the mind of God. This is almost hard to say. We stand in the eyes of God, our position as perfect as Jesus Christ. It says in Ephesians 1:6, we are accepted in the beloved. That word means this, literally, God loves you now. He loves you just as much as he loves Jesus Christ. Man, I look at that and I say, oh Lord, this is too much for me. By this one offering, our sin has been cut, removed off of us. It's gone. Are you listening? You're secure if you're in Christ, but you need to know that. Listen, you were saved, Acts 4:12, you were saved by the only name given unto man, the only name under heaven by which a man can be saved, the name of Jesus Christ, amen? John 14:6 says, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the life, I am the truth. No man comes to the Father except by me, except through me. No one else. Now I'm going to ask you a question here. Look at that verse again, verse 14. By one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Listen very carefully. Why in the world did the Holy Spirit move on the writer to express this again when we just had it expressed in verse 10? I mean, is he just redundant? No, he's emphatic. God wants you to get this, loved one. He wants you to get this right this minute. By one sacrifice, again, Jesus has brought you to a state of completion forever. Now listen very carefully, because many great men of God, no, I don't know if they're great men of God, but they're good men of God. Listen, if you're going to teach Hebrews, you better study the Greek. Do you understand? You better know every tense that's here, because Hebrews is the hardest book in the New Testament to teach. People say Revelation is, oh no, Revelation has a perfect outline. It's easy. But oh, when you get to Hebrews, it's not easy at all. Now listen very carefully. To make the word in verse 14 perfected, to make it mean the ongoing process of sanctification in the life of the believer by which, now listen, where the Holy Spirit works in us to take us from glory to glory into the image of Jesus, it does an injustice to this text. That's not what the writer is talking about at all. He's saying this, that the moment you're saved, your position in the eyes of God is absolutely perfect forever. And you say, well, Bill, there's a process. Of course there's a process, but that's not what the writer is talking about here. And we need to understand that. I mean, I don't feel holy. Do you understand? But We walk by faith. I look in the mirror and I say, well, I can see. I don't see halo around me. But God says, I do because of my son, not because of you, Bill. Nothing. Your righteousness is like filthy rags. But not Jesus, not my son. Not the one that paid for my sin, for your sin. No, no. Oh, listen, our position is perfect. Yes, there is a process of sanctification, if you will, going on and so forth. But listen, we have been, you have to get this, we have been eternally sanctified. So what are we doing now? If we've been eternally sanctified and we know there's a process, well, of course there is. But here's the thing we need to understand. We're now only walking out our permanent eternal position. Did you hear me? If you are not now, this is who you are. You have been justified. Now you are sanctified, set apart. You are permanently holy in the eyes of God. Now the Holy Spirit, yes, is in you, but it doesn't change your position. Okay? Now you start growing. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, yes, is in you. Are y'all with me? If that's not happening in your life, because see, you've already permanently been sanctified by God. And if you're not going from glory to glory into your life, you're not saved. You're not saved. You're just a Jesus namer. Do you hear me? Listen live on the radio. You're a Jesus namer. If you're not being changed, if you haven't changed, if you haven't bore some kind of fruit, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, Jesus, you got to bear something, just something. If there's nothing, then maybe there's a problem. And I say, oh, Lord. Now listen, look what God does now in verse 15. But the Holy Spirit, now our divine helper, our standby, our strengthener, the one who loves us and helps us. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us. For after he had said before, and I'll get to that in a moment, but he witnesses to us. What does that mean? How do we know personally that we have perfect standing before God? Well, the Holy Spirit is our witness. And who wrote the Bible? The Holy Spirit. He says, listen, that's how you know. So what Jesus accomplished for us, that justification, that incredible permanent sanctification, it's now working in us. You can't stop it. Listen, he who began a good work in you will complete it. Do you understand? Complete it until the very day of redemption. No, listen, what Jesus accomplished for us is now working in us. Ephesians 3:20, now God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that works where? In us. He's working in us. You can't walk out on God. You'll never walk out on God. You may go to a pig pen, but you got to get out of the pig pen because you belong to God. Do you understand? Oh, I look and I say, oh God, you're so good. Now listen, how does that process work? Well, look at the next verse. He tells us how. And the new covenant. He said, this is the covenant God says, I will make. We're not making a thing. God is making it. I will make with them, meaning then it was Israel and Judah, of course. After those days, saith the Lord, and he says, I will put my laws into their hearts and into their minds, and I'm going to write them. And so he's quoting again the new covenant, Jeremiah 31, verse 33 and 34. Now, listen, this work of God, this covenant, he says, I will make. There are not two parties involved in the new covenant. It is God himself. That means he's the one that's going to make all of it happen. And the new covenant is not like the old covenant. The old covenant is external, tablets of stone. The new covenant is internal. He writes it on the hearts and the minds. How does he do that? All of his commands, all of it. Guess what he does? He makes it part of us. How? We are now partakers of his divine nature. Amen? They're here. You know the voice of the Holy Spirit. Don't do that. Do this. You know that. You didn't know that before. You didn't feel guilty. Listen, before you were saved, you could do something. Well, I shouldn't have done that, but I'm all right. I like me. You get saved, you go, oh, what did I do that? Oh, God, I'm hurt. Are you with me? Yes, big difference. Big difference. Why? It's written on your heart. As a matter of fact, you could do something, and you didn't know it was in the Word of God, and you knew it was wrong. And then later you read and said, oh, God. Oh, are you following me? Yes. Oh, man. I said, oh, God, you're so good. So his commands become part of us. Now, listen, you got to look at this incredible divine promise from God. Oh, listen. And then he adds, there's a new covenant now. Look at it. Their sins, their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. Loved one, I want you to listen to me. Our sins are not covered like in the Levitical priesthood, the old covenant. Our sins have been taken away. They have been severed. They are gone. They're gone. Amen? Now, and I say, oh, Lord, this once and for all offering, it shows that our sins, not only have they been paid for, but they've been taken away. And that incredible promise of God, I'll not remember them anymore. Now, what does that mean? Does God have a problem with dementia or something? No, like me? No, no. Listen, he says this, I'll never bring them back up again because I've already taken them away from you. I put them on my son. He bore them. You don't have them anymore. Why do you want them back? Are you following me? I will not remember what has been taken away from you. I'll never bring them up again because they have been taken away. When you stand at the Bema seat of Christ, the place of rewards, and you stand there that day, I'll be standing there with you. And whenever that happens, not one sin is going to be brought up. Why? Well, they've been paid for. What's going to be brought up, Bill? Did you serve him? You're going to give an account of the giftings that he's given unto you, of your finances, of your everything. You'll give an account before God. Did you do what he asked you to do? Did you fulfill your calling? That's what he's going to say. Some of us will suffer loss. I probably will suffer much loss, but I'll be saved. Loved one, listen. The matter with God now has been eternally, forever settled. Our forgiveness is not only full. Loved one, our forgiveness is absolutely final. One more thing. I never want you to forget this, okay? And you know, as many times as I've taught Hebrews, I was telling Becky the other day, we were just discussing Hebrews and just how wonderful a letter it is. But I don't know how I miss this in my studies because I break everything down in the Greek and all the tenses and so forth before I ever start even preparing a sermon. But in this verse 17, where it says, and I'll remember their sins no more, I didn't realize that there was a strong double negative in the Greek in that scripture. A double negative, man, is powerful. It means, let me read it to you another way. Your sins, God says, your sins I will by no means, ever remember. That is a divine promise from God. You said, well, you know, he might change his mind. No, he won't. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord God, I changeth not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and so is Jesus. Do you understand? And I say, oh, God, oh, this is so incredible. Are you trying to say you're never, that's right, Bill. That's exactly what I'm saying. And then he says in verse 18, now, where there is remission of these sins, where there's forgiveness of sins, where the forgiveness of the penalty of sin, all of this. Now, where there is remission of these, look at it. There is no longer an offering for sin. No more sacrifices for sin. It is completely finished. Do you know what that word forgiveness means? It means to send our sin away. It's an action that, meaning an action that causes separation. Remember my grandpa's finger? It was taken away by a mean sister, you know, but it's gone. He didn't put it back on. It was forever taken away from his body, just like our sins. And it's also a legal term. It means that a debt has been fully paid and we don't have to pay it. Our sins have been taken away. Now listen to me. Christ has taken the sins of the world on the cross upon him. Upon him. He who knew no sin was made sin that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He was made sin. He was punished like you should have been punished and I should have been punished. He was treated as if he had sinned all the sins of the world on the cross. Yet he had never sinned. And I say, oh God, listen, when those, all the sins by one sacrifice was placed upon him, all the sin of the world, they were carried away. Do you understand? They were taken away with no return ever possible. Ever possible. Jesus has paid for him, past, present, future, next year, until Jesus, are you listening to me? He's paid for the sins of mankind from Adam all the way to the end. That's what he has done. How far away did he take our sins? Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, he has removed, there's that word, removed our transgressions, our sins. Man, listen, our forgiveness is permanent because Jesus' sacrifice is permanent. So with this last verse, our doctrinal study of Hebrews comes to an end. And then with this last verse, the Levitical priesthood was done away with. It is completely over. And if you look at verse 19, where we're going to pick up next week, the Lord willing, it says, "Therefore, brothers, having boldness to enter the holiest," that's the Holy of Holies, "in the very presence of God." How? "By that one sacrifice, the blood of Jesus Christ." Man, I tell you, is there a better book? This is a great study, and I'm so thankful, because if there's anything that's going to cause a revolution in our hearts, it's going to be what we just read this morning. Amen? Listen, give me about 3 minutes, okay? And you know, the Bible tells us something in Romans 6:23. It says, "For the wages of sin is death." Sin has a payday. You know, you go all through your life, and finally, sin's going to say, "Okay, here it is. I'm paying you at the very end." If you don't know Jesus, doggone it, the wages, there's a payday coming, and it's death. Now, that's not talking about physical death. That's talking about spiritual death, which is eternal separation from God forever and ever and ever. But Paul continues, and he says, "But the gift of God, the free gift of God, that didn't cost you but cost God everything." Amen? "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. For the gift of God is eternal life." How? "Through Christ Jesus, our Lord." Do you have eternal life? You're going to live someplace, believe me. But I mean, listen, are you saved? Now, what do I mean by that? I mean this. What did the Holy Spirit say in Hebrews? Remember in Hebrews, what was it, 3:7? Today, that's the word in the Greek, is urgent. Right now, you've got to act right now. Today. If you hear his voice, if you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit today, don't harden your heart, man. Get right with God. If you don't know God and you're here, maybe somebody brought you here. You're listening live. You're listening on the radio, whatever it might be. If you don't know Jesus, you're gambling with your soul. You're gambling because you're going to live someplace for all eternity. And there are only two places that you can be. And Jesus has paid it all. Why would anyone want to pay for their sins in hell when it's already been paid for? What do I do? You accept Jesus as your Lord. You accept Jesus as your Savior. I'm not talking about, listen, if you're a Jesus namer, get right with God now. Listen, today could be my last day, but today could be your last day. But if it's my last day, I know where I'm going. Not because I'm good, but he is. And he can't lie. What he promised is true. If you want to make sure in your life that you'll go to heaven when you die, you need to get right with Jesus. You need to make him your Lord. So as our heads are bowed, I tell you, God, your Father, is calling you if you don't know him. And you say, "Bill, how do I come to Christ?" You don't have to join Calvary Chapel, but here's what you have to do. You have to lift your hand and say, "Bill, I want Jesus to be my Lord." Then put it right back down. You don't have to come to the altar, but you do have to lift your hand as a sign of faith, saying, "I want to be saved. I want to be right now. I want to know that heaven is going to be my home." And if that's you, that's all you have to do. Quickly, put it up. Yes, God bless you. That's right. Anyone else, say, "Bill, that's me." Anyone else before I close on this Father's Day and pray? Those that lifted their hands, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Those that are listening live, you pray this prayer as well. Church, help me. Say, "Father, today I didn't harden my heart. I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. I want Jesus to be my Lord. I want to be saved. I want to be with God forever in heaven. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus be my Lord. And I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. Father, you promised, and you cannot lie. If I confess Jesus as my Lord, and if I believe in my heart, you would save me. I believe. Save me now. In Jesus' name, I'm saved." And the church says, amen. Amen.
What tens of thousands of animal sacrifices could not accomplish, Jesus accomplished with one sacrifice forever. God is so good, amen? Now, Pastor will be back tomorrow with more of his Hebrew series, and we trust you'll tune in once again. We want to thank you for listening today, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.